True Believers, and welcome to a special edition of the Puzzle Warriors 3. I am the Woolly One, also known as Craig. With me are KS72 and Sneaky Beat 15, better known as Ray and Ian of the Longbox Heroes Alliance, and we are, for once, all together in the same room doing this live. So, hey boys.
Hello.
Alright, so we thought we've gotten some info and requests from people on kind of a beginner's guide to Puzzle Quest, so we're going to try and provide some basic info for those who are getting into the game from scratch.
And if you are a current player, this is going to be a very basic intro. We might cover some more in-depth stuff as we go along, but we're going to start off with the real simple stuff.
All right. So at its basics, Puzzle Quest is a standard match 3 sort of game that has become popular in the past X many years.
Right. It's set up in the style of Bejeweled or any similar game. You match 3 of...
It's not Bejeweled.
It's not Bejeweled. It is a Bejeweled-style game with a Marvel skin over top of it. And much better game mechanics. You know, trying to match 3 of the same color and defeat your opponent.
Right, slightly different in this game as opposed to just matching colors for the sake of matching things for points. The colors here actually matter. Each of your characters will have special colors that correspond to them. So matching those will power up those characters as opposed to just making matches.
Right, and they will generate damage and get the enemy team off the board as quickly as possible. So it's a basic match 3 style game. Set up in Mighty Marvel manner, where you are given, at least to start out, some of the most basic Avenger characters, Iron Man, Black Widow, and Hawkeye, and they all come equipped with 2 or 3 powers, which you will use your color matches to fuel, and this will allow you to do bonus effects, damage, stun, healing to yours or the other team, and the goal, of course, is to the first team, either yours or the enemy, to deplete all the hit points of the other team is the victor, and then you can move on to the next story.
Right, and generally you're talking about a 3-on-3 kind of battle.
Yes.
You might start out with one character, but generally you're going to be going up against 3 non-named...
Nameless goons.
Right, goons. Mafia, Magia, whatever they're named.
Well, there we go. As with a standard match 3 game, matching 4 is better. That would destroy a line of...
Sure.
Of things and generate more points, and a 5 or 6 match or better gets you more damage and gets you a critical tile, which also grants you another turn.
Which grants you a free turn and amplified damage if you then make a match including that critical tile, which is essentially a wild card tile.
Right.
And the damage, so let's get into the damage and how it calculates the damage. Because we mentioned the critical tile amplifies the damage.
Right.
But your base damage is based on the characters that you are using. Each character has, for each of the 6 colors in the game, the character has predefined damage amounts per tile destroyed. So, for example, Iron Man is a red, yellow, blue character, so he has much higher red, yellow, and blue damage.
When matching those colors.
Right, when you match those colors. So you want to, when you're just starting out and you have an Iron Man, you want to match red, yellow, and blue so that you do the most damage to your opponents for any matches you make with those colors. And also, when you make those matches, you generate what is known as AP. You generate power for your character based on the number of tiles you destroyed with their colors. So for my example of Iron Man, whenever you make a match 3 red, he gains 3 red AP. Which he can then use to power.
Power, yes.
His abilities.
Well, I mean, just to keep the AP you generate is not character specific. It is for
Correct.
The entire team. When you make your matches, you will see that all the color tiles have a symbol on them which corresponds to one of your characters.
Yes.
And that is the one that will, I guess it's whichever is the most powerful character who can use that color, I think generally is the one whose symbol appears.
Right. So, for example, if you your starting characters, Hawkeye and Iron Man, they both have a red power. So if you use a match 3, that gives you 3 red. But then when you get up to enough red that you can use their powers, they have to share that pool of red AP.
Correct. It is an either-or situation. You don't get to use 10 AP for Iron Man's power and then still have enough AP left. Unless, of course, you have that much total AP. The most AP that you can save in any one category is 30.
Correct. That's the most of any one color you should have. So if you're getting to that point, start firing off your power.
I actually wasn't aware that there was a limit.
Yeah, 30 is the limit.
30 is the limit.
I fire things off so quickly, I don't think I ever got close.
That is the most boiled down version of the game. In reference to some other terms that you will be exposed to early on in the game, there are 2 main currencies in the game.
Right.
There is a purple crystal, then that is a representative of something that's called ISO 8. In addition to being the main storyline in the game, where there is some sort of meteorite substance, meteor that crashes to Earth and gives people powers, they call it ISO 8. Long story short, ISO 8 is what you will use to level up your characters. Unlike other games where you level characters through experience and playing the game, this is purely on pumping ISO into your characters to raise them to the next level. We'll get to the next part of, you know, how to get them to the next level. So really, the main purpose of ISO is to level up your characters.
Right.
Using them will never level them up on their own.
Correct.
There are a couple other things to use ISO for, but in the beginning, just don't. Just use the ISO right. to level.
Absolutely. I agree. Now, each character will have a set of powers, which will essentially define that character. Most characters have three. Some of the earlier characters only have two. But in each power, you know, you just highlight it with your mouse, and it will tell you what the effect is. Some of them do direct damage to the enemy, one enemy at a time, the entire enemy team. Some of them deal stun. Some of them heal your own characters. Some of them generate different types of colored tiles or AP to fuel other people's powers. They're always very specific, and they're usually very straightforward, especially in the beginning of the game. These power levels can be adjusted by collecting covers. The covers are things that you get from recruit tokens. Recruit tokens reveal covers. And if it's a cover for someone you already have, you can put it into that character that you already have and use it to increase one of their powers. Going to our original example of Iron Man, he will start out at, I believe, level one. He has one of each of his powers, I believe.
It's been a long
red,
time.
Yes, red, so. Yellow, and blue. Red is a direct damage to the enemy power. Yellow puts some shields on the board to help protect your team and does a little bit of damage. And blue causes stun to the enemy team and does a massive amount of damage. So if you put another red Iron Man or yellow Iron Man or blue Iron Man cover into your Iron Man, that'll raise the respective power by one, giving it more abilities, additional shields, additional damage. It will, in the recruit hero section and the training section, very specifically explain to you what that does. You can only get a maximum of 13 covers into a character, so you will never have an opportunity to boost a character to max level of all their powers.
Right. So each power goes up to level 5. So if you get 5 red Iron Mans, you can get level 5. If you get a 6th red Iron Man, you cannot keep training him. 5 is your max. And he has 3 powers, but like Ian said, 13 is the max covers. So you can have him at 5-3-5 or 5-5-3, but you can't have him at 5-5-5. It's right. just
or 5-4-4. 5-4-4 or 5-5-3 are the, you know, two obvious most common right. configurations.
Right. So once you get an additional cover for a character, that is what enables you to boost their level by spending ISO. Each character would have a max level based on the number of powers they have.
So cover expenditure and cover opening all comes through the Recruit Heroes tab that you will find on your screen. Next to it, you will find your Training tab. This will take you into where you can then use covers that you have stockpiled to elevate characters, choose which level you want to elevate, and then use the ISO 8 that we talked about earlier to increase their max level, which will increase their damage, increase their hit points, and increase the power of all their strikes.
You have, for each character, you have a level cap and a maximum level. So your level cap is going to be based on how many covers you have total for that character.
Correct.
Right.
And then, so as you get them up and you get all 15 covers, that level cap will then equal your max level.
Right.
So for the characters, when you're starting characters, your one stars that you start off with that we mentioned, I believe there are 3 that only have 2 powers, and they have a max level of level 40. All the rest of the one stars can get to a level of 50 once you get them to 13 covers. Obviously, the one star characters who only have 2 powers.
I think there's 5 of them.
Are there 5?
I think it's Juggernaut. Venom, Yelena Belova, Hawkeye, and Black Widow.
Okay, there are 5 of them. I forgot.
Sorry, some of them are just such scrubs that they really fall out of your brain fast.
Yelena Belloni, I just completely forgot.
She's a terrible character.
But
once you get any other ones to play with,
they're max levels.
Sell her off.
Since they have two powers, you can get them to 5/5 and level 40. That is their absolute maximum.
Right, but the ones with threes do have a level 50. But you're going to find that's the case with max level is controlled. There are currently 5 levels of character. 1-star, 2-star, 3-star, 4-star, and 5-star. When you start out the game, you will start out playing with the 1-star characters, and your battles will be, at least in the prologue, and it will be rated appropriately, so you'll be battling equivalently leveled villains. As you acquire more characters, you know, and 2-star covers and 3-star covers, you'll be able to have higher max levels of 94, 166, to 60? I don't know what a max level 4-star is because I'm not that good.
270 is a 4-star.
Okay.
And then the 5-stars go all the way up to something insane, 450.
450. Okay. But you won't have to worry about that right away. Very early on in the game, you will. I mean, just going through, we'll tell you about the prologue and the versus battle later, but you will get opportunities to start playing 2-star characters pretty quickly into your Marvel Puzzle Quest experience.
Right. Besides just the tokens that Ian mentioned, you'll be getting through rewards from completing the missions in the prologue. You'll get some ISO. You'll get some tokens. Once in a while, you'll just be given a cover as a reward all on its own.
Correct.
And you'll get the other resource, which is Hero Points, which we can talk about here in a while.
Sure. Well, let's go ahead and take a minute to talk about Hero Points. That is the other major currency in this game. Hero Points, they do have a variety of effects. You can use them to buy covers. You can use them to protect yourself in versus battles. You can use them to buy random covers as well as specific hero upgrades. But in my opinion, the most important thing that you need, you have a roster that can hold X number of characters based. I believe the first one can hold only a couple, maybe 5 characters is where you can only have 5 characters. And there are many, many, many more characters in this game that you're going to want to unlock and enjoy their powers. Hero points allow you to unlock more roster slots so that you can then use covers to add more characters to your playable character list.
Yeah, and at least in the beginning, that is the only place hero points should be used.
Right. We urge you to stockpile your hero points and use them to unlock roster spots because having more heroes to play with is what makes the game fun.
Right. And as you start opening tokens, you will get lucky at times and get a much higher level character than what you currently have. So you're going to want to be able to have the hero points to buy a roster slot. So when you're starting out with level, you know, 1-star characters.
Right.
And you suddenly open a token and a 3-star or 4-star character appears.
Right.
You don't want to sell them off and throw them away. You definitely want to get them on your team.
Yes.
Right. And if you feel that you're really enjoying the game and you think you want to put some money into the game, hero points is the thing to buy as well.
Correct.
Do not buy ISO. The payback is just not as good. So, yeah, the hero points to get more slots, that's, if you want to throw $20 or whatever into the game, $5, that's the way to go.
Yeah, if you want to go crazy and throw $100 at the game, go for it. But I would say of the two currencies, hero points is by far the more valued commodity.
Absolutely.
You know, with like 250 hero points in the game, even in the game's distribution is, you know, considered equivalent to, say, 10,000 ISO. Because you have so many more opportunities to earn ISO than you do hero points. Yeah, save those hero points, buy those slots, unlock the characters, build yourself a dream team. That's the way to go, at least, you know, early on and later on in the game, I would agree with.
Right. So we should talk about the basic modes of the game.
Sure.
You have three kind of tabs that you'll see. There's the prologue, the storyline, and the versus mode. As a beginning character, you're going to want to stay almost exclusively in the prologue mode.
Almost.
Until you can complete all the missions and get all the rewards. You will see on these missions where you can get multiple rewards of the mission. After you defeat it once, you'll see like a little yellow recycle icon or something. I'm not sure what to say, but that means you can play it second time and try and get the reward. In general, there are 4 rewards for each one of these missions.
Some of them only have 1.
Right.
But when you complete all of them, whether it's 1 or 4, you get a green check mark.
Yes. Right.
And after you get the green check mark, you're not going to get any more rewards, so don't worry about playing it again.
I would suggest keep playing the missions over and over again until you have green check marks. on all of them. This sure. will get you all the ISO and all the hero points and all the possible covers.
Correct.
That you can get. You will want to do this for a while until you can start to stockpile multiple characters and multiple covers to get yourself leveled up.
Yes, this will get you rolling in the right direction. And just so you know, just because there are four rewards per single challenge, you're not going to get one of those four rewards every time you play it. When you replay a challenge, there is a very, you know, there is an equally good opportunity that even when you win, you will just get 20 ISO instead of one of the four rewards. So be tenacious, stick to it, and be willing to grind. I mean, you'll have plenty of options in the prologue to flash around a little bit and try different things if you're tired of the same fight. But don't forget to come back and really, really work towards those rewards because they're going to help you out a lot in the long run.
Right. It's not a 25% chance of each one of those rewards.
Correct.
It's lower than that. And so the default reward is 20 ISO for winning the fight. Yes, keep fighting those fights until you get all the rewards. Second mode, which you won't get to right away, but once you start progressing into having multiple two-star characters, you'll be a lot closer, is storyline mode. This is kind of where anything new that happens each week or in each month, this is the developers throw this different stories that are going on, different plot lines. But one thing you'll want to check out too, even when you first are starting to get a crew of one-star and beginning two-star characters together, is check out the special storyline called the Deadpool Daily.
Yeah, I would say even when you're just starting out, if you're just getting if you just have a couple characters who are like level 10 to level 15, start looking at the Deadpool dailies.
Right. If for no other reason, there are usually four major missions in the Deadpool daily.
Five?
Are there five?
There are five. There's five.
Anyway, so there are five major missions. Of the five, one will be immediately playable for you.
Right.
There is one that requires only one-star characters. And it yields you, I believe, 500 ISO 8 when you complete it. So that is a significant amount when you're starting out. Even when you're not, it's good to stockpile ISO when you can. So take a shot at that mission as early as possible.
Right. Generally, that level consists of two lower-level kind of thug types.
Yeah.
And then one named villain of some variety who's usually around level 15 or so.
I think it's always 15.
Is it always the same?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's always level 15.
But if you can, once you can start being at that, around that level, start doing that because 500 ISO will go a long way for you early on to level up your characters.
Absolutely.
And even now, the 500 ISO.
Oh, it's worth it every day.
That fight is fairly easy. Yep. But yeah, every day I hit it because it's worth it.
I agree.
Once you start transitioning into the two stars and better, you can start looking at some of the other Deadpool daily fights.
Right.
They'll be a little higher level.
I mean, there's one that'll give you 1,000 ISO. There's one that'll give you a taco token, which will guarantee you a two-star cover at the very worst-case scenario, a four-star cover at the very best-case scenario. And there is one mission that will give you a guaranteed three-star cover, but don't hold your breath. It'll take a while before you have a crew powerful enough to get you through that fight to earn that cover.
Right. And yeah, that was a kind of a special mission. The first one in that group, you have to have the character.
Right.
That is the reward for that day to even participate in the mission. So don't be discouraged if there's many days in a row where you can't even think about playing that fight.
Right.
Because it will take you a while to build up your team.
Yes.
And then the second fight, which they like to call the big enchilada, is a pretty difficult fight.
Even at a higher level, they can really, bring it.
Right. But that will get you the featured character of the day. And then a new feature which started recently, which you won't have to worry about anytime soon if you're a beginning player, is at the bottom of the Deadpool Daily, once every 5 days, you'll see a special 4-star mission light up, but you have to have a 4-star character of the feature for that week, and you will go on a 1-on-1 match against the kind of the arch villain or arch enemy of specified character. Seems to be whatever the developers like to throw out as the villain that week.
Right.
But those missions are very, very difficult. And generally require 4-star characters with multiple covers to even give yourself a decent chance of winning.
Right. So again, don't worry about that. Just don't overlook the Deadpool Daily for the one mission that you can play because it will, I believe, benefit you in the long and short term. Also, in story mode, if you miss a story, stories often come back around. So don't be too disappointed if you're having trouble with a story. Maybe a month or two down the road, you'll get a chance to see that storyline again. And hopefully you'll be in better shape to make it further in that storyline.
Right, and in the storyline, they generally, when you click on any of the different battles, it'll tell you the difficulty level. So you'll see trivial, easy, normal, hard, and deadly, I think they are. The trivial ones, definitely play anything that says trivial.
Yep.
Really go after all the easy ones. Once you get into anything that says normal, they expect you might lose that fight. The normal ones are kind of difficult.
Yeah, normal, intermediate. Whenever you see a yellow banner is what you'll see. Yeah, it's like gray is the easiest, green is next, yellow is next, red, and then like dark red is like doom.
The third mode is what's called versus mode. This is where you kind of pit your team, your players against another player's roster.
Right.
The other player isn't controlling them. It's not a live, interactive head-to-head. It is just some characters picked off the other real person's team that you get to fight against. These will get difficult pretty quickly when you're starting out, but what you can start to check is usually the first round or two of a versus mission, the first couple battles, are pretty low-level characters. And if you don't have each event will have a feature character. If you don't have that character, the game will give you a base level version of that character to play with, and you team them up with a couple of your other folks. And if you can at least, that can try and get you some quick ISO, some standard covers. And some recruit tokens.
Right.
And other rewards, just for doing those first couple of matches. If then you can't get any further. Yeah, right. You've got ISO and recruit tokens.
Correct. It'll be at no detriment to you.
Right.
The worst you can do is gain a few bonus items. Again, if you want to take a little break away from the prologue, this is a nice way to change things up and a nice way to earn some quick ISO and some easy recruit tokens.
Like the storyline, those features change every few days. Generally, things last a week or less, 5 days or so. So check back there often. You can always try and jump into those. And then another way to earn rewards, which you didn't talk about, is the shield resupply. Every day, just for playing the game and completing any mission,
right.
It doesn't matter what mode you're in, you will get a free supply of something from your friends at Shield.
Right.
It could be ISO. It could be a token. It could be hero points.
It could be a specific character.
It could be a specific character. It could be health packs. It could be
power-ups. AP boosts, power-ups. Yeah, it's always something you'll want.
And with the Shield resupply, one thing that you'll see is if you are in an alliance, you get bonus ISO every time the Shield resupply happens. You get 10 ISO per person playing in your alliance. So that brings us to an alliance.
Yes.
Join one. It really doesn't matter what alliance it is. Just join an alliance and try and stay in alliance. If you're just starting out, you'll probably get kicked because people want high-level people in their alliance. Doesn't matter. Join another alliance. You just want to be in an alliance so that every day when you get that resupply, you get that ISO bonus. If you're getting the resupply and it's saying like a plus 10, plus 20, you're probably in an alliance that really doesn't play very much. You might want to look at joining one that has more active players. But if you don't know people who play the game, you're not in alliance, just join one randomly and try and stay in one. It's a nice little boost that you get every day.
Absolutely. Like Ray was saying, when you get kicked out of an alliance, don't get discouraged. In the early goings, you get kicked out of all your alliances.
Right. Yeah.
At least that was the experience that I had, and I think that we all had until, you know, we met up with friends outside of the game who all enjoyed the game and created our own 20-person alliance of, you know, people who are all, you know, good friends in and outside of the game. However, I think for Ray and Craig, they both were in pretty, you know, they're good. They play hard and they were in good, reasonably performing alliances that they were not in danger of getting kicked out of.
Yeah. Eventually I found an alliance who, you know, I was getting plus 180 to plus 200 ISO a day. So it was a decent alliance. They were doing okay. When it came to the big events, we were struggling. And by we, I mean I was struggling to
get the bigger rewards.
Right.
Because...
Specifically when the Ultron event happened, just I wanted to be in a better alliance. And eventually found one.
Hooray! Long Black Heroes, go!
Right. The other side point of that is both the storyline events and the versus events, there are alliance rewards. So if your alliance does better, you will get bonus rewards, which again, it could be ISO or tokens or character.
Correct. When stories wrap up, when verses wrap up, you will get additional rewards. So being an alliance is valuable, even if you don't, you know, even if you don't want any of the social aspects of being an alliance.
Right.
Another major aspect of the game is obviously the characters. The Marvel characters are what give the game its heart and its substance and what would draw you to it over any other of this style game. And knowing which characters do what and how their powers can benefit you and work well together is one of the keys of putting together, you know, an effective gameplay strategy. So we're going to take a few moments to talk about some characters in general, and then some character specifics so that you can then hopefully apply that to your upcoming rosters.
So some strategies to keep in mind. We mentioned that whenever you make a match, the tiles that you're matching have a symbol on them, and each symbol corresponds with a character in your team. Whenever you make a match, for example, that has Iron Man symbol on it, Iron Man then goes to the front of the...
He goes to the front of your three characters that are in the battle.
Correct.
You'll see them shuffle periodically throughout the battle based on the matches you make.
Right. And whoever is in front is going to be the one who is going to be taking damage.
Correct.
Where I'm going with that is, the same thing doesn't happen when you're playing against the computer. The computer makes a match, their lineup does not change. So if you want to attack, say, a specific character, for example, in the beginning, if you have a lieutenant who you're fighting against, who's in the back, who is healing constantly, it's probably good for you to take him out to stop that healing. You can click on the enemy characters and choose which one you want to attack. So you want to pull that lieutenant up front and do damage to him to take him out.
Yeah, you generally want to, the healing types, unleash some powers on them and get them out of the game as quickly as possible.
Right.
So you're not fighting that constant fight.
Right. At the crux of what Ray is saying is, by tapping on the enemy team in the second position, it will shift the enemy team one position forward every time you make that tap, and who's ever in their front will be taking the damage.
Exactly.
Another thing to know about enemy teams, now that we're on this issue, there are generally three types of enemy teams. There are nameless goons. Nameless goons are the Magia, ninjas, hammer soldiers, things of that nature. These characters aren't titled villains or heroes, and they do not make any physical moves on the game board. They generate a static amount of AP or of colored tokens for their side per turn without needing to move any tokens or make any matches. And again, more often than not, their abilities involve putting what are called countdown tiles on the board. These are, they'll have a specific number inside a colored token, and once it reaches zero, their ability will take effect. You have that many turns to get rid of that token before it takes effect, you know, to negate its effect and not feel any of the things.
Right, so you want to get rid of that token by either making a match of that color, using that tile, or using a power that destroys that token.
Right.
If you, as Ian said, you click on the second enemy to kind of cycle through them. If you click on the first enemy, it will bring up a thing that shows you the powers of that character.
Correct.
So you can see what a soldier is going to do to you with its countdown tiles. And then once you're in that screen, you can cycle through the whole team and see if there's different, you know, if there's a lieutenant and a grenadier and
sure,
a rocketeer, you can see what their countdown tiles do. So you can decide which ones you want to take out first.
Correct. And if you're not sure who placed, because they have similar colored powers, and you're not sure who placed the countdown tile on the enemy team, cycle through the whole team, and whenever the character who placed the tile is in the front, that tile will flash.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's something I wasn't aware of either.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If you have, like, a flamethrower and a grenadier, and they both put out, a four green countdown tile, yeah, as you scroll through it, the tile flashes for whichever enemy created the tile, so you know who to target, depending on how far the countdown tile has ticked away.
Huh, good info, Ian.
See, everybody learned something doing this.
Okay, a little bit. So there's that. And these tend to be, at least in my opinion, my more favored battles because it allows you to control the board more. So if I want to make a move somewhere on the board in hopes of setting up a 4, 5, or 6 color combo next time, I don't have to worry about the board shifting on me because only I can, you know, I'll be controlling how all the tiles fall, as long as countdown tiles aren't exploding.
Right, right.
So the second type are named villains. These are Juggernaut, Venom,
Magneto,
Bullseye, Magneto, any typical villain or Moonstone or, you know, or sometimes you'll be playing in a situation where you're battling other heroes for whatever reason. Long story longer, these characters behave in, you know, identical ways to the characters on your side. They shift colored tiles around the board to make matches, to build up AP, to fire off their powers and attack you directly. Some of them do have countdown tiles as part of their powers, but that's neither here nor there. It's the shifting of the tiles on the board. And of course, the third is a combo of the two. You'll often find, you know, Juggernaut and two soldiers or right. something of that nature. So in that situation, it depends on, you know, where you feel the most damage is going to come from. Usually I like to target the named character so they're no longer able to manipulate the tiles on the board. And then I can
giving you the control of the board.
Right,
again.
Giving me control of the board again, and then I can pick off his two goons.
Right, and sometimes it can be a little tricky with that, is the thugs do just automatically generate AP each turn.
Yeah.
And sometimes that is the color of what the villain can use.
Right.
So he won't even be making the matches of that color. And you'll be like, how did he just fire off that power?
Right.
He didn't make any green matches, and he just fired off a power that took 8 green.
Right.
Ah, that's because the goons generated green every turn.
They do.
One good thing about fighting when the computer is making matches, I have to imagine this is intentional, the computer does not recognize a 5 match in a T shape. So it will match 4. It definitely prefers matching 4 or 5 when it can.
Yeah.
However, in a T-shape, it doesn't seem to recognize a 5. So it's actually an advantage for you because the computer won't necessarily be making as many critical matches, critical tiles
Correct.
As you can.
Not intentionally. I mean, it will absolutely match 5 in a line or 4 in a row. But however, it will never, in the way that you can make a critical tile by making an L-shape out of 5
right.
or a T-shape out of 5 or a crisscross. Out of 5, the computer will never intentionally do that.
Yeah, which, sometimes it does it by accident if that's the only move it can make or something.
Right.
But
that usually, you know, you, like Ray was saying, you get to avoid a lot of extra turns and a lot of critical hits because of that.
Right.
One other thing to consider, when you go into a fight, you'll see a screen pop up that will ask you if you want to add boosts or team-ups. These are special things you can take into a fight with you. You'll tend to accrue these as rewards just for the fight, just like, you know, your ISO or your hero points. There are two types. So the boosts are special different types that let you increase extra AP of a certain color. Actually, they tend to be in groups of two. So you can increase, say, yellow or red or black and green, or it can increase damage, either damage of those same color combos or damage to team-up tiles or critical boost amount where your critical will do way more damage these boosts.
Right. We'll tell you more about team-up tiles and team-up powers here in a moment. So yeah, there are essentially two types of boosts. There's either start with more AP of a single color at right. the very beginning of the match, or every time you match 3 or more of that color, do an extra percentage of damage from that match. I tend to prefer the latter. Unless you have some specific strategy where you're going to need to go in and have something fast so you can fire off a power immediately.
Oh yeah, I think the percentage damage boosts are...
Because that's ongoing throughout the match.
Yeah, and they're incredibly more powerful.
You know, again, the only time I've seen in a very specific situation is if, you know, you want to make sure, I don't know, if you're in a match that's way over your head and you want to make sure you can get off, you know, like a power that will kill the entire enemy team and you want to start off with 6 extra pink, you know, you might want to load up on that and then fire off whales or something of that nature. Again, it's not something I do often. Right. Something else you should know about these are now stackable.
Right.
Something right. that will start off doing an extra 10% damage with red, yellow. If you put another one right on top of that, it's going to do another 20 and then 30 and so on as you can spend.
I think you can stack 5.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the limit is 5. You can stack 5 of any type. And the percentage damage is definitely better because like you said, it's throughout the match. Anytime you make that match, you're going to be doing that extra damage. The bonus AP is only at the very beginning.
Right.
Still can be extremely useful. The boosts, I would generally say save those for, like, if you fought a fight and you got just completely wiped, but you think you might be able to pull it off, throw some boosts in there and, you know, it'll help you to finish that fight. I usually don't use boosts near as often as team ups. They're usually for the bigger fights.
Right, especially if you have I find boosts are most helpful when you have waves of opponents where you're going to have to fight 4 groups of 3 in a row. It's nice right. to have that extra edge to make sure you can get the damage done that you need to do to win that fight.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, the other kind of boost is what's called a team up. Again, these will be things you'll get from rewards. When you're making your matches, you'll see all your different colors. There's one color that's silver. That is a special color.
Team up.
It's the team up tile.
Yeah.
There are no heroes that use silver to power any of their powers.
Correct.
The silver is only used for the team up powers. So if you have a team up selected that you take into the fight with you, if you make some silver matches, eventually you'll see the bar grow, and then that power will flash and be available. And these will be a one-time power fight for a special character that can show up to help you.
Right. It doesn't have to be a character that's in your roster. It's just a team-up that you've earned at some point along the line. I don't know what's the max. 20? You can have 20?
Yeah.
But you can use 3 when you go into any fight. If you're not using any boosts, you're going to use 3. It's going to select 3 right. for you if you have
3. Yeah, and
you
don't random have to, tiles. You right. don't have to stick with them.
Right. And they are one-off, so if you use it, it's gone.
Correct.
So once you've used a team-up boost, it's just like the other boosts. Once you use them, they are gone until you...
But if you're out of team-ups, if you do happen to be in Alliance, there's a button at the bottom of the screen. I believe it's on the PC as well. I think it's at the bottom of the screen.
I agree.
Which will allow you to ask your Alliance to just send you team-ups that you can continue to use.
Right. And don't be shy about using team-ups just because they're one-offs. You get an opportunity almost every fight to replenish a team-up tile if you finish the fight successfully. Because I get the message, if only you had used a team-up tile, right. we would have given you a new one. Way more often than any chance of me being out of team-up tiles. So if you need an extra boost, if you think it'll, you know, you're getting close to getting wiped out and a little extra photon blast or take aim will save the day for you, fire away. You know, you always get a random 3 and you get to a point where that'll usually be enough. If you're going into a particular hard fight, you might want to, you know, pick and choose which ones you have in hopes that that will help you along the way. But really, they're just a little something-something on this side.
There's a kind of a third kind of boost that's not really in it is the health packs. So if your characters, you know, you go into a fight, it's, you know, you get TPK'd, the total party kill, and you want to try that fight again, you can revive your characters with the health packs. Nowadays, you get 10 of those that regenerate over time. So don't feel too bad about using them because I think you get one every half an hour or something.
I think it's
like
every 35 minutes. It regenerates one.
So, you know, especially I like to use all of them right before I go to bed because in the morning they'll all be back. So
right.
don't feel bad about using them if you're trying to slug your way through some fights and some characters go down. That's okay. Just revive them and go fight again.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you use them to revive. You can also use them to just heal. Like if you got a character that's got 3 hours before he's fully healed, zap him with a health pack and he's back up to full instantly.
Right. And like we said, you're going to get an entire 10 health packs. Every 35 minutes you get a new health pack. So correct. You'll be fine.
And you'll get those as rewards too, so you could end up with way more than 10. I don't because I use mine constantly, but
right.
other people in this room have had 40 or 50 or more health packs sitting around doing nothing.
This is true. Yeah, as opposed to ISO, which you want to build up to level your characters, and hero points, which you want to build up to get your roster slots, you definitely want to, the health packs, do not hoard those.
Right.
You use your hoarding on the ISO and the hero points.
Right.
Next thing I want to bring up is, we've been talking about these recruit tokens and what do you do with them. At the bottom of the screen, you'll see a button that says recruit heroes. When you have recruit tokens saved up, there will be a number usually on that screen to tell you that you've got some to spend. Mine is always at 0, unlike these two clowns who like to stockpile zillions of these things. But once you go into the recruit heroes, you will get recruit tokens of different kinds. The basics are called standards. They will get you 1-star, 2-star, or 3-star characters.
Generally 1-stars.
The vast majority of the time, you are going to get 1-star characters.
Right. But
the next ones you'll get will be the gold ones, which you can get as rewards. Those are heroic tokens, which will get you 2-star, 3-star, or 4-star characters. Guaranteed to at least get you a 2-star. It'll always be Moonstone. but it is possible. Legendaries, not for this discussion. That's a future day. Those are 5-star, well, 4-star or 5-star characters.
Yeah, if you get a legendary token, congratulations. Go ahead and click it and enjoy.
You also get special tokens for some of those special events, the storylines and the versus events. So especially maybe your Alliance does well. At the end of that event, you may get a special token for that event, which gives you usually they're 2-star, 3-star, or 4-star tokens with a special higher draw rate for whatever the feature character was for that event.
Right.
Now, generally, you're going to want to use these tokens. I mean, yes, Ian and I do have a tendency to hoard some of them.
But that came much, much later in my gameplay.
Yeah, exactly. When you're starting out, one thing that you want to keep in mind, though, when you use your token and get a new cover, if you get a new cover that you do not have a roster slot for, that cover is going to last for 2 weeks? 15 days?
15 days.
Yeah.
If you don't have any hero points for a new slot, you may want to actually keep those until you can accrue enough hero. Look to see how many hero points it's going to take to get a new slot. Maybe not, I mean, I would say still use the 1-star tokens, but maybe save up your 2 stars until you know you can actually recruit the characters. And that's one reason that you might want to, you know, become a hoarder.
Right. Cause you don't want to be early on forced into too many hard decisions like, oh my gosh, I have this, you know, one cover of this excellent 3-star character, but he's not going to be super effective until I can get more of those covers, but I'm not going to have an opportunity to get more of those covers if I sell this first one, but I don't want to get rid of one of my fully powered 1-stars that are letting me to actually continue winning.
Yeah, because, I mean, a level 50
Iron Man
is going to be more useful than most 3-stars with only 1 cover.
Right.
Oh, by far. Yeah.
You know, use your best judgment in there. You'll have lots of opportunities to unlock character slots. You get plenty of opportunities to earn hero points. Like we said, with the Daily Rewards, you're given hero points. I mean, they're out there. There's tons to pick up for multiple wins in the prologue. Don't worry. The slots will come. Right. Just be patient. But understand that you will, if you continue, as you open covers, you're going to come in, you're going to get more characters than you can play with. You know, there's just going to, that's just going to be the way it is. You're going to have to pick the characters that you think are the best. You know, if you want to go on, there's lots of resources that tell you which characters that other players, the internet, that Marvel Puzzle Quest believes are the best. You might want to focus on those. You might want to just focus on your favorites. However you want to do it, just understand unless you're ready to spend money on the game, you're not going to be able to play every character you get. And you're not going to want to play every character you get. Some of the characters are an absolute waste of time and resources.
No, not Squirrel Girl. Yelena Belloni, she's terrible.
Yeah, Yelena Belloni is terrible.
Bagman, Spider-Man is awful.
Yep, absolutely. I think the 1-star Hawkeye is of no value. I mean, he is early on, but he's a guy you can quickly replace.
Yeah, I kept him for quite a while, but I have to agree.
Some of the characters, they're 2-star versions and 3-star versions. Mirror, their earlier versions just are more powerful. So once you get them moving along, you can dump the earlier version to make room for
1-star Storm and 3-star Storm, Mohawk Storm are exactly the same.
Right.
Yeah, same with 2-star Thor and 3-star Thor.
Right. So
2-star Daken and 3-star Daken.
Yeah, so say you start getting some Mohawk tokens for 3-star Storm, you might want to just go ahead and drop. And then you will sell a character for ISO. One thing to note, once you've opened a token, if that's a character you either can't use because it's, say you've got a 6th Iron Man red now.
Right.
Obviously, you can't use that because you've already have 5 Iron Man red. You're going to want to sell that for ISO before it expires. Don't let tokens expire. Either recruit them or sell it.
Right.
Yeah.
And you don't want to have multiples of the same character.
Right. Do not have multiples of the same character. You might think, well, I really like Iron Man. Maybe I want a second one.
Yeah, maybe he goes down and I want to be able to not have to heal him and use him again.
Use a health pack.
Don't do that. Because what you're going to want to do is you want to have as many different characters as possible. As you were able to progress through the storylines, there are required characters for a lot of different fights. So the more characters you have, the more you're going to be able to participate. Having 2 Iron Mans is just going to restrict you.
The last kind of recruit token to bring up from that Deadpool Daily is you will sometimes get taco tokens. This is a special kind of recruit token which takes you into a thing called the Taco Vault. The vault alternates between 2 modes, sweet and savory. When you go into the vault to cash in that token, you can look in the vault and see all the different options that you might get. There are 300 possible choices in each vault, in the savory and the sweet. When you open the token, you'll randomly get one of those 300, or they will always be Moonstone. I'm not sure how that happens.
Only if your name is Craig.
But that is always the case for me. But in that, you could get 4-star characters. You could get a 5-star character from one of the legendary tokens. Taco tokens are very powerful, so we urge as soon as you can start defeating that, what is it, the second match on the right.
Right. It's the first, it's 2-wave. It's a 2-wave fight. It's not too difficult. You have to defeat some, it's 1 wave of goons and another wave with 1 named person.
Right.
Yeah,
you'll get there quickly.
Right.
I would say once you can get, say Black Widow up so you can stun that named character with her blue power, or maybe Venom, so that you can stun that named character, then you can probably take that on and get a taco token every day.
Yeah, taco tokens are very, very powerful. They can really step your game up quickly with higher level, characters.
I agree. You'll start to know when you're ready. When you start cruising through prologue, you'll reach points in the prologue where you're just getting hammered.
Oh, yeah.
You'll fight things that seem later, comical, but I'm telling you, there was fights. I'd be like, oh, what's this? Oh, I have to fight Yelena Belova. Well, this will be, oh my God, I had to be wiped out before I even knew what happened.
I know there's one point probably where you have to fight two named characters where they're teamed up. And I don't remember if it's Ragnarok and someone else.
It is Yelena Belova and Daken.
And that fight can be a bear.
Yeah.
Because Daken will keep healing himself.
Yeah,
and...
but you'll get over that hump pretty quickly. Here's another little pro tip, as we're calling them. By that, I mean we just started calling them right this second. when it comes to selling characters, when you're selling covers that you can't use or that you don't think you're going to use, always sell cover by cover to get the maximum ISO value out of the sale. Here's what I'm saying. If you take a character, we'll say Yelena Belova because we all dislike her, and you pump 13 covers into her and never spend any ISO raising her from level 1, even though she has the ability to go up to a level 40. So that Yelena Belova that potentially has 13 covers in her and you go to sell her, that's going to be worth 100 ISO. That means you have shorted yourself 1,200 ISO by, you know, pumping that in and then choosing not to use it. If you had sold each individual cover as one.
Right.
The only time you get more ISO out of a character for selling them is if you've already pumped ISO into the character and it increases their value, but not equivalently.
Right. You're still going to be losing ISO on every level that you put in.
Right.
I mean, sometimes you're going to have to sell a recruited character.
Right. And sometimes you're going to have to, learn the hard way. You know, I can tell you right now, despite my urgings, you're going to end up trying Juggernaut and Venom because they're Juggernaut and Venom.
Venom is still awesome.
Venom is not awesome. He is of very little value. He only can go up to level 40 for whatever reason. And this is not true. So don't listen to me. I feel that the game drops way less black and purple tokens than it does any other kind of token. So he is really hard to power up.
I use Venom every day for my 1-star Deadpool daily by himself. I disagree with Ian. He's only got two power. In my opinion, he's only got two colors to charge. He charges them pretty quickly, and his black is always an insta kill.
Right.
So for the named character,
the two powers means that only blacks and purples, unless he's firing off one of his powers, do any significant damage to other players. So when you're matching the other colors, it's all pretty much a wash.
Strangely, his green does a lot of damage, even though he doesn't use green. It's a weird side effect.
Every character has three colors.
Oh, do they?
Yes. Of damage.
Oh, yeah. Me.
Just so, for damage.
His green is the other one that does his damage. green do 75 points of damage. I know this because I see it every day.
However, that does bring up a thing. We were talking about selling off older characters. Remember, don't sell off all your 1-stars. You're still going to want those 1-stars at least for one fight a day for that daily Deadpool.
Right.
To get you that simple little fight will give you the 500 ISO. But in addition, if you complete all the fights, you get a bonus 2,000 ISO. So you're going to want to keep the enough 1-stars to do one fight.
Right.
In Craig's case, that's a single Venom character.
Right. In my case, it's just the Iron Man I got to start the game with.
Right. And in my case, I tend to hoard characters. So it's Iron Man, Storm, and Black Widow. I still have 3 1-star
characters.
You must
just mop up on that.
Yeah. Oh, the first fight? Yes. Yeah. But I use them for the second fight as well. That's why I have 3. I use them for both the first fight and the 2 waves.
I don't know. We all play those in different orders.
Yeah.
I play the required character one first, then the big enchilada, then the single wave, then the double wave, then the 1-star I play last.
That seems strange.
Yeah.
I'm talking about them in difficulty. So
okay.
To me, the first fight where it's, you know, level 10, level 15 characters, I use those 3 characters there and I use them for the first wave battle because they're able to, very rarely do I have to use anybody else to do that.
I guess while we're there, we might as well talk about the low level characters that you will get these prizes and save. The new 1-star Spider-Man, which came out fairly recently.
Yeah, I wish he
very, very strong.
Wish he was around when I was starting out.
Yeah. A very good character. If you can get that 1-star Spider-Man going, he's very useful.
Yep.
Iron Man is super, super
very
useful.
Straightforward. He does shields, he does stun, he does direct damage.
Yeah, Iron Man will serve you well for a long time.
But. Yeah. I would say he would be my absolute last 1-star to sell off.
Juggernaut can do a lot of damage, but hurts himself, which is one of the things I hate about certain characters, is I hate hurting myself to get things done.
Right, I agree.
Venom, I enjoy a lot. We have dissenting opinions on Venom. Hawkeye, I never really used at all. Once I could replace him, I sold him off super early in the game.
Right.
Same, Yelena Belova, I made the mistake of pumping her up at one point to try her out and was super saddened.
Yeah.
And got rid of her.
She's an awful, awful one-star character. Starting the one-star level Black Widow, she's got a very powerful stun, which yes. helps to isolate your more powerful opponents. So that's, she's very helpful in that fashion, and she steals AP from people. So she's an adequate part. She's a good support character.
Right, and one-star Storm is also very, very useful.
Yes, she really shuffles up the board and generates a lot of
damage.
Of AP and does some decent damage. Those two are excellent support characters. Neither of them will have enough hit points to be effective on their own, but they are great supporting either Venom or Iron Man.
Once you start moving to two
or Spider-Man.
Stars, you start moving to two stars, Thor is going to be your guy for quite some time.
You get Thor in the prologue, and he just is a damage machine. Once you get him with all three powers, you're going to see he's going to be your mainstay for
quite a while.
Well, and he's kind of kind of lovingly call a self-pumper. His red power will make yellow tiles.
Sounds gross.
His yellow power will make green tiles, and then his green power is an endgame almost. Call the Storm is one of the most devastating powers you'll see for a long time.
Yeah, he's an excellent. He is a tank. He is a damage output. He's a really excellent.
Well, and he's the very first character who is called the Storm power you're talking about. He's the very first character who is able to damage the entire enemy team, isn't he?
I don't know how quickly into the prologue, and I don't remember how soon you get two-star Storm, but she blew my mind when I got her. She has a power that stuns the person in front and damages the entire enemy team for a significant amount of damage. She is not have a lot of health, so that was a detractor, but other than that, man, this day, when she gets a boost up to 150, I throw her in whenever I can.
Yeah, Thor's main thing is he has that, and his other two powers also do significant damage, and he has hit points.
Right, so Thor's very, very strong.
He's definitely a mainstay character. But yeah, you're right, the two-star Storm is definitely a keeper for a very long time.
Other characters that are good in the two-star realm, I find Daken very powerful because he's a self-healer.
Right. He does. He heals every turn, puts attack tiles on the board to boost his own everybody's damage.
Right.
Every turn.
Which we need to talk about tile types because we skipped that part.
Sure. Well, we'll work that in here shortly. I find that much like one-star Hawkeye, two-star Hawkeye is kind of a scrub. His abilities all involve countdown tiles, so the chance that they get negated is high.
Yeah,
he's a fine support character if you just want someone to have there. But again, I don't think he is worth the ISO investment. One character that I do love is his evil counterpart, Bullseye.
Right.
Bullseye puts a ton of shield tokens out on that, which really go a long way to negate damage. He puts critical tiles out there, which is great. And he can blow up some basic tiles, which helps shuffle the board to your favor.
He's a character I never got. And at one point when I was transitioning into, you know, getting a bunch of three stars, he was my regret. I regret not taking the covers that I had of him and making a good character because, I would fight him and realize that he pretty decent character.
Right. So I love Ms. Marvel. Captain Marvel.
We know.
She's one of my favorite characters. I use her for my Deadpool daily every day.
Captain America 2-star is also a decent character to get.
A character I have never, ever used.
Yeah.
Never one time have I recruited Quirks. Sorry, that's an inside joke. To me, the cover is Cap trying to, fend off
it's
artillery shells.
Yeah, it's a World War II poster, or is, from that era.
Right, with, communism and other words written on them. To me, they look like somebody's firing corks at him from a champagne bottle. I don't know why. So I always just call them corks.
That is bizarre and not necessary.
I know, but
I feel
at that was a long story. Sorry.
Right, I'm clued in, but I think he's a good, well-rounded two-star character. And then, unlike the two-star Wolverine, I don't care for him. I see that he has value. His red power, is an end gamer. It'll kill. It does enough damage that it'll kill most of people his level in one shot. I don't know. I just didn't like him.
Yeah,
his healing
I don't
is
know that
tedious.
I ever leveled up spandex at all.
No. No. Moonstone, she's too wordy. She's not bad, but she's not good either. You look into the characters and find what works for you. I don't want to say you can absolutely not use these or absolutely do use these. These are just some personal preferences that I've discovered throughout my play. I'm trying to save you a little time and some ISO.
And if you listen to other shows, you'll know we also have some weird peculiar quirks where certain characters have certain names or animations, which just irritate us to the point that we won't play those characters no matter how good they are.
Right.
Insert Kamala Khan here.
Oh, she's so good. But yeah, and I feel the same way about New Iceman. Anyway, that's a different, for a different show, we still have a lot to cover.
All right. So we've mentioned a few times shield tokens and attack tokens or attack tiles.
Yes.
So there's multiple different kinds of tiles that your powers could generate.
Right.
So your shield tile is basically protect that. It reduces enemy attacks by X number of damage.
Yes.
Which it will say on it. So if you have a shield out there, it reduces enemy damage by 5 or 10 early on where you're at. That can be very significant because those will stack. So if you can get 3 or 4 or 5 of those out on the board and you're suddenly taking 30, 40 less damage, early on, that can be enough where your enemy's attack will be reduced to 1.
Right.
You always will take at least 1 point of damage from an attack. Shield tiles can go a long way to really helping you fight a long battle versus someone much higher level than you and much more powerful.
Correct. The protect tile is definitely, I feel, undervalued because defense is generally undervalued in the game, but it's do not scoff at the protect tiles. That's one of my favorite tiles out there.
Right. I mean, long story, I was fighting against a Charles Xavier, and at one point he had a protect tile on the board that reduced my damage by like 3,000. No, it was more than that. 5,000. 5,000 per hit. So yeah. The biggest powers that I could unleash onto Charles Xavier were doing 1 point of damage. Yeah. Right. So protect tiles can get very, very strong.
Right.
Right. And it's per attack. It's per damage you would take. So it's extremely useful.
All right. The other kind of tiles are the attack tiles.
Right. Attack tiles, they look like little fists on your tiles. They, after either the enemy or you take a turn, they will do damage, and they specify an amount of damage for each tile.
Right.
And it's all cumulative. So each attack tile on the board will do an amount of damage. You'll probably see them first with Storm.
Yeah, Storm will give you a ton of those with Hailstorm.
Yeah, her Hailstorm power puts out a bunch of attack tiles, which you'll see that. I mean, the thing about the attack tiles is, you can take them off with Storm. You can destroy them and get rid of them, but she puts out so many, and they only do 7 points each, but then you add all those up.
What, there's 15 of them on the board?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Suddenly you're doing over 100 points of damage extra.
Right. And they do direct damage that is calculated after the, tile matching damage is generated.
Right.
Third type of tile.
Strike tiles.
Strike tiles are, they look like swords?
Yeah, I guess that's kind of what I'm supposed to be.
Swords. Absolutely.
They increase the damage for you anytime you make a match, anytime you use a power, they increase your damage. Of course, if they are black and pointed the other way, they will increase the damage of your enemy every time they make
a
match.
Get rid of these as soon as you can.
Right,
yeah.
Right. The thing about these three types of tiles is they all retain whatever color that they are placed on and can be eliminated by making a 3 or larger match of that color. You know, or a screen clearing shot of 4 or more.
Right.
But the strike tiles get very powerful very fast. We said that, Dakin is a pretty strong character. It's because anytime you make a green match, he puts a strike tile or two out. And yeah, those add up real quick. Strike tiles are dangerous. And if the enemy team gets them, you're going to want to get rid of them pretty quick. What else we got? We talked about the countdown tiles. They're pretty straightforward. They put a number on a tile. Again, you're going to want to get rid of those by making a match with them before their effect takes place. And countdown tiles can be a whole host of what their effects are. There's no way we could even list them all.
No. But more often than not, you want to eliminate them as quickly as possible.
Right.
Right. There are a few other weird special types, which are kind of not suited for this discussion. Higher level characters will put out invisibility tokens, tiles.
Right, again, not, you're right. They're not basic level things that you need to.
So, once you start transitioning more from the 2-star into the 3-star realm, you'll start seeing additional tokens. Maybe we'll bring that up on a future show.
And you can always look at the tile where the symbol is and usually see what the effect is.
Right. If you click on a strike tile, it'll tell you how much damage it's going to do.
I think at this point, if there are any other, I don't know that there are many more major categories we can cover. I think they've got a pretty good grasp of things at this point. If there are any other pro tips we can offer people, I know you had mentioned something about when creating your team, try to create, because we talked about your whole team has to draw from the same color pool. Right. So when choosing their people with powers, try to create as few color conflicts as possible, specifically in the beginning. I mean, and they set it up well, so you can avoid that in the beginning. Like, if you're starting with someone like Iron Man, who is a red, yellow, blue character, and want to pair him up with Storm, who is a green, yellow, black character, you only have, you know, one of the six colors overlapping. So that means there, you won't have to divide the pools evenly between the characters and really, you know, when you see a power ready to go, you can feel free to activate that power and it won't be cheating another power. You won't have to pick and choose which right. power to activate.
And there's a team that start that you get really quick, the Iron Man, Storm, Black Widow. They only have a couple overlaps in their colors. And not only that, but it gives you a character that you at least have one power for every color. So correct. Any match you make is going to be generating AP that will allow right. you to use a power.
Right, and doing extra match damage.
Right.
So
yes. Right. Color diversity will really help you go a long way.
Absolutely. Did either of you have anything else specific that you thought, hey, the game never mentions this. This is something I had to learn hard on my own, and it was very frustrating. The only thing that I have is when you first begin doing the playing in the versus modes, if you want to know what characters the computer will select to defend your team when you are attacked in player versus player when you're away, it's whichever three characters you were using last.
Right. So this isn't mentioned anywhere in the game.
No, I don't know that you can, you know, took a lot of trial and error and searching around to find this. This is not something that D3 offers you as, and I'm only about 95% certain that what we're telling, that this is true. So if you want to, when you lose interest in PvP, the versus modes, make sure you end on your three strongest characters. That way, if you get attacked while you're away, you do have you stand a slightly better chance of winning.
Right. And they need to be not dead. They need to be up and
correct. Ahead. And then they'll probably heal themselves. But yes, you're right. Dead will cause a random shuffle. But if they're dead, what are you going to do?
Right.
So that's my only thing that right. haunted me for a long time.
Well, the one we covered earlier was the selecting which enemy to attack. Because nowhere in the game do I remember it telling you
that you can shuffle
could shuffle which person you were attacking.
Correct.
Once I learned that, boy, it made the game easier when I could figure out which characters I wanted to target with my powers.
Right. Oh, the other thing that I would mention is when you start, as you start to learn the character's powers, be mindful of how the powers interact with one another so you can either get the maximum effect out of one of them or do the least amount of detriment to yourself. You don't want to use, again, I'm not being anybody specific, but say you use a character, or I will be, like Dagon, who's putting out attack tiles on the board. You don't want to pair him with someone whose damage relies on destroying. You don't want to then use Storm's Lightning Storm to wipe tokens off the board.
Right.
Because that will only work to your, detriment.
Right. So, yeah, you gotta watch your, so that is a combo you gotta watch because you're gonna keep matching green to put out Dagon's tiles.
Right.
And then Storm's green wipes all those tiles off the board, right. which doesn't help you.
So be mindful.
And as you play and figure out what the character's powers are, these types of things will come kind of automatically to you.
But as we're trying to come across in this, we love this game and we're here to help. If there's something that you can't find in the forums, if you don't know where to find the forums, and God, there's got to be hundreds of specific questions that we don't have time to cover in this mini tutorial, please reach out to us and we will help you in any way that you can. And Ray will tell you how to get in touch.
Sure. You can get in touch with us on the website, puzzlewarriors3.com. We have a contact form on there that can be easily filled out, where you can give us an email address to respond, and we can address you directly that way, or we can include your question maybe in a future podcast.
Absolutely.
There is also in our About section on the webpage as well, you can email us at the addresses that are specified there.
Right, or each new podcast is featured. We post on Reddit. If you want to leave your comments there, we'll catch them there as well, or you can follow us on Twitter.
You can. We are at Puzzle Warriors 3.
But yeah, please check our older podcasts, and please listen to our new ones. We do a feature character every week where maybe we'll give you some tips and tricks about a certain character that you might come across. But any questions, please always contact us.
Yep, and we're open to any sorts of input. that, you know, from our listeners. We love to hear from you. You're the reason we do, you know, what we do. So, hopefully this tutorial will be of, you know, both somewhat fun to listen to and of some help and some value, you know, to all of you out there. So, get grinding and enjoy your Marvel Puzzle Quest, and, check back in with us on our weekly show, Puzzle Warriors 3. Thank you all for listening.
Good night.
See ya.